Alrighty then, we will start with Shias arriving. She's just left Belarod's office looking very relieved and has come and has greeted you. She's glad that you like the area, and she's more or less made up with Lillian too, just because Lillian doesn't hold a grudge very long. Yeah, make a pick up there.
Okay. So, Shas.
Yes?
The falcon earlier, that's yours, correct?
Oh, yes.
She's beautiful.
Shas will smile brilliantly at you. Thank you.
Do you go hunting with her, or is she just more of a companion?
She considers, well, a little bit of both. I obviously don't take her inside, but yeah, she's usually not too far away when I'm outside.
Like now?
She smiles at you. Like now.
May I see her? Oh, and what's her name?
Her name is Katja. It means hunter. Not sure if you've ever heard of the dish cacciatore.
I have not, no.
Well, perhaps we can talk to Celeste and she can make it for you.
That sounds wonderful. I would like that.
And Shas will whistle. If I could whistle, I'd do it for you, but I can't. So just imagine a pretty short little tune sort of whistle. And the falcon will appear after a couple of seconds and come flying towards her. And you'll get a closer look at Katja. And she looks like whatever you imagined a falcon to be. She is the epitome of a falcon. And as she moves around, after Shas has probably actually taken her cloak off and wrapped it around her arm before Katja got there. But as you look at Katja, as she tilts her head and looks at you and everything, that as the sun glints off, it almost looks more metallic. Not fully metallic, it's just the way the sun glints on her. So I mean, it's not like she's got metallic colors on her. It just has that kind of sheen when the sun is reflecting off of her.
Okay. Azel will stand from where she's sitting and approach and just kind of marvel at the bird. She's so pretty. Where did you find her?
She gives you a curious look and says, well, I rather think she found me. I like to believe that she's a gift from Kyrie.
Azel will smile at that. Not so much at the Kyrie part, but more of the bird finding her. And she'll nod. It kind of seems to be that way. Nature finding us and helping us. And then she'll reach out a little bit with one hand and ask, may I? So she can pet the bird.
Oh, certainly.
She'll reach out and stroke the bird, like the chest. She's beautiful. She really is.
Jess will smile at you.
So, how long have you had her for?
A couple of years at least. She was still fairly young when I found her, or when she found me.
Well, it's always a good time to bond with him.
Agreed. She's been a good constant friend, especially out in the forest.
Hazel smiles pretty at that. Good. I'm glad. It's the way it should be. So, what do you do? She'll take a step back from Shas and the bird. Obviously, you know the forest quite a bit, and, well, you're quite good at stealthing.
She will be mad at that. What do I do? Well, I suppose you'd expect me to be a scout, but I'm not officially. The Master Belerod's agreed to take me on, more or less. He'll teach me a little bit of what he knows. Drive him crazy as much as he drives me crazy. Well, I have improved, so I can't complain too much. But Father would prefer that I not actually be part of the Scouts. At least, not yet. Maybe when I'm older. In the meantime, and she shrugs, I just help out where I need where I'm needed. And I like to read, and I'm pretty good at making arrows, even sell some.
You make arrows. Reading is marvelous.
It's fascinating. Can hardly wait till I get the next one.
I'm sure. So you're not exactly a scout. Interesting. I certainly would have pegged you for one, but that's okay. You are definitely quite good at what you do, though.
She gives you a broad smile. Well, thank you very much. I do try. And Lillian will speak up. You have no clue how awful it was to play hide and seek with her as children.
I bet it was quite awful for you, but wonderful for her.
It was truly a one-sided game.
I can imagine. What about you, Coda? Are you good at hiding?
Yep, I know exactly where to hide so nobody knows where I'm at. And he looks like he's about to tell you, but then realizes he's got two seekers right there, so he closes his mouth.
She'll grin broadly at him. Well, maybe later we'll go play hide and seek, huh?
Yes!
See if these two can find us.
That would be fun! And he looks at his sister and she just smiles at him. And he looks over at Lillian and she just shakes her head. In a good-natured way, not like she's telling him no. More of a chuckle and yes, I know how Coda goes, shakes of the head, if you will.
Definitely. She'll smile at him. And I'm sure we can actually make Shas try to find us. I'm quite good at hiding myself, you know?
Do you play a lot?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you play with
Brew?
Demon?
No, not with Brumin.
I was going to be jealous if you did, because he doesn't really play hide and seek with me.
No? Well, you know what? Maybe we should try to get him to this time.
He grins at you, but he doesn't look like he believes that you could actually get him to do that.
She'll smile knowingly at him. Tap the nose with tap her nose with a finger and just, you never know. Can try.
He'll giggle at you.
Oh, and before we do that, Coda, don't forget to give that sunflower to your mother.
He'll grin broadly. I'll keep it very safe. And then he'll pick it up because he set it down to make more snowmen.
Good.
What's your favorite flower?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
I really like snowdrops. And I'm quite fond of morning glories, too. Have you ever seen a snowdrop?
Nope.
Well, now you will. She'll kneel again, clear a bit of snow of the way, and she'll grow a little snowdrop.
And he'll be just as delighted by the snowdrop as he was the sunflower.
I don't have a photo or else I'd link it to you. But it's a small flower, white petals, kind of bulb-ish. Usually grows in cold and snowy climates, which is why it's called a snowdrop.
Makes sense.
Azel will look at Lillian and Shast and ask them, so do either of you have favorite flowers?
They will both smile at you. Of course.
And what are they?
And they'll glance at each other. Then Shast will look at you somewhat curiously and say, my favorite's a daisy, one of the field flowers.
Daisies are beautiful. And yours?
And she'll look at you and smile and just say very simply, lilies.
How fitting. And she'll clear a bit more snow away and then grow a little daisy and pluck it and hand it over. And then do the same with a lily. Specifically, let's do a calla lily.
This is amazing.
Azel will beam at them. Good. I'm glad you like it.
Jess will nod over to the greenhouse and say, well, we have a greenhouse, but we don't usually use it for decorative flowers. Just the ones that come on, you know, fruit and vegetable plants. Which, some of those are very pretty themselves.
I quite agree with that. But sometimes it is definitely more helpful to have more useful plants, I suppose. Although I have to admit, almost all of them are useful.
In one way or another, yes.
In one way or another.
No, before long, the crocus will be coming up, popping their little heads above the snow. And then Shast will smile at you.
She'll smile back. I'm sure it's a beautiful sight.
Brings hope for spring. Not that I don't like winter.
There's just something a little more refreshing about spring.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly. Go ahead.
The melting snows, the blooming flowers, the storms.
Shast will laugh. Well, except for the storms, it's certainly more comfortable to be outside in.
Definitely.
So you've asked me. I'm curious. What do you do? Besides, you know, irritate my brother.
I apparently do that quite well. As for me, I'm a caretaker for nature, I suppose is what you could say. I'm a druid. I take care of the animals. I take care of the plants. I help them grow.
Chess will give you a very sweet smile and say, that sounds wonderful.
It is. It's one of the things that makes me the most happiest. Being in Riddleport drives me crazy from time to time.
There's not much nature there.
No, not what I'm used to.
Is there any outside of town?
Is there any what?
Outside of town.
Yes, there is. Still not quite the same. Still too many people, but that's all right.
Shas considers for a moment and says, well, perhaps you should convince your friends to go on a camping trip.
For some reason, I don't think most of them would appreciate that.
She laughs. You don't think so?
They enjoy the finer things in life.
She'll laugh again and shake her head.
It's true, though. They're used to comforts. Not really quite roughing it the way I did.
She'll give you a keen look. What do you mean by that?
She'll smile back. Exactly what I mean. Quite literally, not having anything over your head. And not just for a few days.
She considers for a moment. I'm not sure if that sounds wonderful or terrifying.
Both. It's terrifyingly wonderful.
And she looks like she's trying to imagine it. To fall asleep under the stars every night, to be able to see them shining so brightly. And she'll give you a smile. That sounds wonderful.
It is. It really is. She'll look off for a moment, just kind of getting lost in her memories. But if you want to, you should do it at some point.
Say that again.
She'll comment. If you'd like to, you should do it at some point.
She'll give you a broad smile. Oh, I have. I have slept under the stars. Just not every night.
That's fine. Even a few nights is better than none.
I know the stars shine more brightly in the wintertime, but personally, I prefer the summer.
I don't blame you there.
And Jess will consider a little bit more and say, well, I've heard stories of druids, how they can use nature to help themselves and hinder their foes. And of course, there are other stories.
Yes, well, that's true. What other stories have you heard?
Oh, stories involving weeds and lightning and... She glances over at Coda. Mountains suddenly forming fists and shoving them into your gut.
Azel will laugh heartily at that. For good several seconds. Yes, that is quite true, actually. Those weeds and, well, elementals. Mountains of stone forming fists. Yeah, I can do that.
You'll have to show us sometime.
Sometime. And she'll glance at Coda. Probably best to not get ideas into his head.
She'll laugh and reassure you that as interested as Coda might be, he won't take anything too far.
Good. Although I have to admit, I am a little disappointed that Bruman has told you all to not get into a snowball fight with me.
She bursts out laughing. Actually, all three of them burst out laughing. And since Lita's still there, he looks up and kind of gives you a forced laugh, like everybody's laughing, so I should be laughing too, sort of laugh. The cute little 2-year-old, ha ha ha, ha ha, sort. And Jess will comment afterwards that, yes, he says she throw them extremely hard.
Only when I need to. And those aren't exactly natural snowballs. Made with magic, so they have a little bit more of an impact.
The older two laugh again.
Is it bad that I just remembered that there would be the dogs around?
Nope, the dogs are still around.
There are what, three of them?
Two of them.
Two. Okay.
They generally seem to be pretty calm dogs, and they're used to being around kids all the time. So they're not necessarily used for like attacking or anything like that. But you could probably also imagine that if you were to you know, threaten anybody that they know, they would probably take action. But overall, they're very friendly.
So mostly house pets. Nasal's on the good side, so she's not too worried about it.
Exactly. Like exactly. Anyone,
so. And they're so cute.
They look so cute and fluffy. I just want to pet them.
Oh, I know, right? So I think I'm out of questions.
Say that again.
I think I'm out of questions to ask.
We'll say that Marianne comes and gets lead. And, y'all hang out outside for a little bit before Katsu comes and does his amazing mountain wizardry. And then after Katsu leaves, Lillian will suggest that perhaps since you've been outside for several hours, you should probably go inside. Especially since, you know, she at least has been kneeling in the snow most of the time. And, Coda's been playing and is probably pretty snow covered and starting to get wet and soggy.
Isabel will comment that that's a good idea. She's fine with being out in the snow, used to it, but for the other's sake.
And as you start heading in, Coda will look up at you. You did bring another dress, right?
Not a dress. No.
Gives you a very serious look. But you have something to change into, right?
Yes, I do.
That's good. Well, when you're done changing, you should come see my room. It's really neat.
Really? Well, I'll have to come and look at it then.
And they'll walk you inside and go up the stairs. And they'll let you go to your room, and they will actually go down the hallway.
And Chess would probably notice at that point, since they all walked in the snow, that Azel was not actually leaving any tracks in the snow.
Yes, thank you for the reminder. She won't comment on it directly, but we will say she has taken note, and it may come up later.
Okay. And so Azel will go to her room, and she will change out of her wet clothes, and then go find the others.
They're not too hard to find. You would have seen that they turned right at the top of the stairs. And Lillian and Chas are probably pretty close to the stairway anyways once they have both changed. And Coda will be also looking for you. And probably was the first to finish changing because he has a lot of energy.
Probably.
Come this way, this way, this way. This is my room. My room's this way. Come on.
I'm coming, I'm coming. Give me a moment. Not as fast as you.
And he will race down to the end of the hallway. I'm not actually sure how to describe it. It's like there could be double doors there straight ahead, but they're not there. But you still have like a little doorway-ish area to walk through. And then you have the wall in front of you. And then to your left and your right are like single doors. Does that make sense?
Kinda. I'll just imagine it.
Yeah, I'll toss you the link to the upstairs later. How's that?
Okay, that's fine.
Anyways, Coda will turn left and invite you into his room.
And she will enter.
And of note, the other two are behind you. It's a kid's room, so it's probably a little bit messy. Not horribly messy, because Lillian wouldn't let him, you know, absolutely wreck the room. But you see his. Say what?
Good nanny.
Yes. You'll see his bed is in one corner. It's not a huge bed. Probably a little smaller than a twin size, but maybe about that. Just inside the door to your right would be kind of like a day bed style bed, if you know what I mean when I say that.
Yep, I do.
And then, you know, there's the door to presumably a bathroom. And you'd see it in, like, his, I think it's called an armoire. I don't actually know how to pronounce it, but it's like a closet, but not in the wall.
Okay.
And a desk and stuff like that. And all his stuff. But he is very proud of his room. There is also another door, almost directly across from the one you entered, but not quite across. It's offset just a little bit. Coda will bring you into his room and extend his arms out. And this is my room.
This is wonderful, Coda.
And look. And he'll run across to the window and point down.
She She'll follow him and then follow his gaze.
You should be able to see where you guys had been playing in the snow from his room.
Oh, that's wonderful. You get to see the snowman now.
Yep, I have my family inside and my family outside.
Good.
I'll have to teach Master Mew on the other side of the house.
Have to what?
Teach Master Mew on the other side of the house.
Oh, okay. Teach him?
Yeah, teach him how to make snowmen so they don't fall apart in an hour.
Ah, right. I'll have to do that with you.
Sure.
And then we can build the biggest snowman that you've ever built before.
His eyes go really wide.
And it'll be this big. And she'll put up a hand, like, up to her shoulder. Have you ever made a snowman that big before?
He stops to think. I didn't. But I think I've seen one that big. I don't remember who built it, though.
Well, we can totally build a snowman that big.
And he giggled. And teach Master Mew how to do it at the same time.
Yep. And we'll all have a lot of fun doing it.
He looks very pleased. And Lillian and Jess would have taken place, or seats on the daybed area place thing. And Coda will look at you. Do you know how to draw?
I wish I could, but I actually don't. I'm not that great. Do you know how to draw?
Uh-huh, I'll teach you. And he'll run over to his desk and get his pencils and paper and bring it to the floor and sit on the floor.
She'll sit on the floor too, cross-legged.
And he'll give you a pencil and a piece of paper and say, first, you start with a circle. That's the head.
Okay. Let's see. And she'll draw a circle.
And then you make a stick for the body.
Uh-huh. She'll draw the stick straight down from the circle.
And then four more like this. And he'll demonstrate his arms and legs.
And she'll copy that.
And then you could give him fingers, too. And he'll draw fingers on the one hand. And then the other hand.
I can? Oh, this is neat. And she'll do the same thing. Just do tick off little fingers.
And you need hair, too. And he'll draw hair. But you can make it however you want.
Alright, that sounds good. And she'll draw out... Let's do medium length hair, like just under the stick figure shoulders.
His character's definitely got short hair. And then you can put clothes on him too, but I like to use a different color for that. And he will reach over and hand you a different color pencil. And then pick up one himself.
She'll smile at him. Thank you, Coda. And then she'll just sketch very... very crude shirt and pants over the stick figure.
It sounds about like what he gets on his.
I hope you realize that my internal, me being an artist, I am internally cringing at this right now, but simultaneously laughing.
I can well imagine. It's one of those moments of He's six. Don't say anything. He's six.
She also doesn't know how to draw, so... Yeah.
Well, his mother will commiserate with you as his player. As Azel's player, anyways.
I have someone who understands. Yes.
Anyways, Coda will continue drawing and adding in other stick figures into his picture and say, well, you can make a whole family or you can make a scene. Like, you can add trees. They go like this. And he'll demonstrate trees in the background. Or you can make a house like this. And he'll draw a house and just keep babbling as he draws. Mostly making sense, but not really.
She'll listen attentively and then throw a glance at the other women, smile at them, and then go back to drawing. Sketching little trees and birds and stuff. To the best of her abilities, which is not that great.
And for the most part, I mean, they're watching you, but they're talking amongst themselves. Or between themselves. They're talking between themselves. Yes, that is correct. That is.
Yes, between.
Why not? I'll go ahead and make you make a perception check.
That would have been a natural 20, so altogether 34.
Good night with your natural 20s tonight, y'all. Okay, you would definitely hear a door open outside of the room and a couple of steps. Footsteps, that is.
She'll perk up a little bit and just gonna glance toward the sound.
You glance up and the bruise there leaning in the doorway. Humored expression on his face.
She'll smile at him. Ah! Hello. Did you have a good nap?
Good enough. And so you're getting art lessons.
Yes, I am. And she'll pick up the paper and show it to him and smile. Said a little wryly.
Oh, it looks like you followed directions perfectly.
You know, I try my best. Mm-hmm.
And he'll chuckle and come in, glance over at Shas and Lillian. Just toss him a wink and join the two of you on the floor. On his stomach. Totally, you know, face down. Not obviously his face isn't down, but he's on his stomach. Kicking his feet up in the air like a little kid.
She'll shove a paper in his direction and hand him a pencil. So why don't you show me how it's done?
He will chuckle and start more or less sketching. He's not as good as his mom. If I have to do like a performance for that, it's not very good. But if he were doing something more for his articles, he wouldn't be too bad.
You probably don't have to do a performance check for this.
Nah, he's just sketching. Coda will show him his paper. Look, I drew all of us. Like, there's me, and there's Lillian, and there's Shas, and there's Lady Azel, and there's you, and that's as far as I got.
Azel will chuckle at being called a lady.
Brill give Coda very serious, like, that's a good job. I think you're getting better every day. And Coda will just beam at him.
Practice makes perfect, after all.
She listened to her. She's pretty smart.
She'll elbow him a little bit. Not all the time.
And he'll give Coda a little wink, and Coda will look at you. Yeah. But he said you're the one that solves all the riddles. So that means you're really smart.
Well, I can't quite deny that, but no, I can't take the credit for all of that. And she'll give Bruman a mock glare.
He just grins at you.
She'll half roll her eyes and then look back at Coda. So who else are you going to draw?
He considers for a moment. I know. And he quickly sketches in another person.
And who is that?
Hold on just a second. I'm pulling up my notes. Okay, I think Norden was the name I used earlier. And he'll look at you and say, "This is Master Norden." And then he'll draw a line through him. Kind of looks like he's trying to perhaps kill him in the picture.
Right, because Norden was the one that he said that he would fight off.
Yes.
Lillian. She'll chuckle at that and cast a glance toward Lillian.
Lillian hasn't noticed yet until Coda starts narrating that, yeah, this is Master Norden, and the next time he comes up, I'll pull out both my daggers and... Brew, the mountain wizard gave me a new dagger. It's not as cool as yours, but it was made from stone, so that means it's really cool at the same time. And anyways, I'll pull out both my daggers and go, ah! And Lillian will speak up with that and more or less scold him for having such thoughts. And Brew will chuckle and say, "Oh, but Lily, he's just defending you, you know." She goes, "That dagger you gave him has been a pain." And he'll just chuckle. "Oh, I can hardly get down on him. I mean, he has declared his undying love for you. It wouldn't be right for him to not ward off other fellas." And he'll just grin at her, and she'll just shake her head at him again. And Coda will pipe up, "Brew, Azel says she be my little sister." Brew will chuckle at that. "Oh yeah, how's that gonna work?" And he goes, "I don't know, because she's bigger than me, but..."
Sorry, back now.
Welcome back.
So what was all of that?
What was the last you heard?
Basically, he started narrating was the last thing I heard.
Ah.
So quite a bit. It went fuzzy, and then the Ari walked in and stayed for longer than she normally does.
It's all good. Brew was teasing Lillian. Lillian had commented that the dagger that Brew had given to Coda had been a pain, and Brew pointed out that Coda had declared his undying love for Lillian, so therefore it was only right that he, you know, stave off any of the competition.
That's beautiful. Azel would totally be just hand over her mouth, trying not to laugh.
And then Coda piped up after that and said that Azel said that she would be my little sister. And Bruce just gave him an incredibly humored look and said, "Oh yeah, how's that gonna work?" And Coda looked very serious and says, "I don't know, because she's bigger than me. But she said she'd be my sister, and I could be her brother. And that means you're her brother, too, because you're my brother." Brutus gets this really. He looked humored before, but he looks like he's trying not to laugh at the moment. But one of those, I'm totally taking you seriously, little 6-year-old in front of me, but at the same time, you're hilarious.
Ezel's kind of got the same expression on her face, like lips pressed together, trying hard not to laugh.
And Brutus look at Coda and say, you know, that means all of us are her sisters and brothers. You know that, right? And he goes, yeah, that means there's 8 of us now. And Brutus will give you his amused look and say, well, guess you've been adopted into the family.
Guess I have quite a big family at that.
He will not make any comment about that.
She'll just smile at him. Kind of slightly knowing.
Yep. Coda will lean forward and it comes out more like a stage whisper, but he's trying to whisper so that the girls on the daybed can't hear us. Brew! Do you think if I scare away Master Norden, do you think Lillian will marry me then?
Ezel just busts out laughing this time. She's not even trying to hide it. You would have to ask her that, Coda.
He gives you a serious, like, how do I do that?
That is a very good question that, you know, I'm sure Brumman would love to answer.
He's very clearly trying to not laugh at that. I can't speak for a little bit as he's, you know, trying very hard to keep it all in. But Coda is giving him the most sincere look ever, like, Tell me how to do this. And Brew clears his throat and says, well, actually, Coda, that would be a better question for Father or Glock. And Coda will give him a big look like, hello, I'm asking you. Brew will pull his finger up in a come here, have a secret sort of way. And Coda will lean really, really close. And Brew will say, I've never asked a girl to marry me before. I don't know how either.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Yeah. Or should I make you roll a perception, see if you heard it? Wink, wink, wink.
I will roll a perception. Oh, that was a natural 19, so 33.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's only 15 for a whispered conversation, so. He told Coda that he's never actually asked a girl to marry him. So he has no clue how this works.
Ah. Ezel will pipe up. So, Coda, once you do defeat him, maybe you should go ask your father or Glock. They would definitely know.
Coda looks like, hey, that's a good idea. I see, you said that in normal volume?
She'll lean in and kind of stage whisper it a little bit.
Okay. He is taking you very seriously. That, like, I'm totally going to do this. I'm going to fight off Norden, and I'm going to I'm going to ask her again. And the humored look has not left Bruce's face yet.
She'll lean a little closer and nod a bit.
Yeah,
whisper again. That would be, like, a really good idea. I'm sure you'd be able to win her heart. Because, I mean, how could she say no to you?
And then she'll glance over at Brumin and just smile. Very humored.
Evil. Cher said, glance and smile, and Tashia wink, waiting for Coda's answer. Because Coda looks very seriously at you and goes, last time I asked, she said she was too old for me.
His old boss fell laughing at that. Takes a moment, calms herself a little bit so she can actually respond.
Well, you know, it would never hurt to ask again.
Brew gets this mischievous look in his eye. He goes, hey, Coda, what are you going to do if somebody marries her first? And Coda gives him this very serious expression. Says, I'm going to fight off Master Norden. And totally normal volume, maybe even a little bit louder than the normal. He goes, yeah, but what if it's somebody that you like? And Coda's looking at him like, well, who would that be? And Brew glances over his shoulder at the girls and goes, yeah, what if she marries Landler first? And Lillian gives him quite the scathing look for that comment. And he just gives her this super mischievous smirk and another wink and looks back at Coda. And Coda is very much considering what on earth he would do if Landler beat him to the punch.
While Coda is distracted, Azel will nudge Brumin in the ribs and just shake her head and roll her eyes. Stop giving her a hard time. I doubt she'd marry Landler.
Brew chuckles, you never know.
Sure. I'm sure Coda here might fight for that, though.
And he turns a serious look on you and says, no, Mama says I'm not supposed to fight my brothers.
Azel nods. You know, that's really good advice.
I've heard stories about brothers that fight. They're not very good stories. They're always kind of sad. I don't like those stories. So I don't fight with my brothers.
Azel will nod again. Yeah, that's a good choice. The stories are quite sad.
I like happy stories, like the Mountain Wizards!
Definitely like the Mountain Wizards. Would you care telling us again, Mew or Brumin, about the Mountain Wizards?
He chuckles. Sure, they've heard that story.
Oh, I certainly have, but you know, I wouldn't mind hearing it again, and I'm sure Coda certainly wouldn't mind hearing it again either.
Yeah, tell about the Mountain Wizards! And Brew will give him a very serious look. Like, okay, well, there are these rough guys in the Gold Goblin. They came, they were giving us some trouble. And we decided we would just fight it out. And they agreed, but we couldn't do it with weapons. So we had to go outside. To a big area, and there the Mountain Wizards were born. And Coda gets this like, ah, yes, this is so cool. And there are four of us and four of them. None of us had any weapons, and And all of a sudden, Carrick took his hand, and all of a sudden there were weeds everywhere. And they couldn't move, right? They couldn't move. Well, some of them couldn't move, but others could. But then Carrick got a horse, and he rode around to the back, and he distracted some of them. And then the other ones tried to come up close to us and tried his with their fists. But the mountain wizards, they made it so cool. There were lights, there was water, and it was fantastic. And of course, the mountain wizards won. And Coda gets up and cheers.
He's left at that. I'm just very, very amused.
And Coda will give Brew like, you skipped the part with the guy that punched you in the throat.
Did that for a reason, Brewman.
Yeah, you know, we try to tone it down in the presence of ladies. And he winks at Coda.
Hazel rolls her eyes. I feel like when you forget that I was there.
Coda comes up. Oh no, he's told it with you on it before too. Because you were really good at dodging all the attacks. And they would try to swing their fists at you and they'd miss.
She'll smile at that. Mm-hmm, I'm very good at dodging. And you know, they were very bad at throwing punches.
Coda look at Brew, and Brew will just shrug. Was there anything else that you particularly wanted to say?
No, I don't think so.
Alright, now at that point, Brew will push himself up into a sitting position and look at Coda and say, hey, you go outside while I was sleeping? Yeah, Lady Azel built lots of snowmen with me, and she did not throw any snowballs.
She will smile broadly at that, and then look over at Brewman, and then just kind of give him an I'm very disappointed in you kind of look.
And he will give you that grin again. I go, I'm very proud of you, Lady Azel, for not throwing any snowballs at my family.
You know, it would be quite interesting, though, to have a snowball fight, Brewman.
He chuckles, but he has this look of, no, I don't think so.
So then just give him a look. Just flat. Yeah, nope.
Did you teach Master Mew how to build a snowman yet? And Coda go, no, he didn't come outside. And Brew go, well, maybe we should go find him. I think you owe him a tour of the house, too. Oh, yeah! Can we go now? Brew will say, yes, of course we can. And stand to his feet. And if you look like you're about to join him, he'll offer his hand to help you up.
Yeah, she'll take his hand and, stand. How kind of you, Brewman. Such a gentleman.
And he rolls his eyes at that.
Children back.
And Coda will go running out the door, and Brew will follow him. And the two girls will. Yep, we'll say they get up and follow too.
Yay, we're all following. Follow the leader.
Yep, probably another game Coda likes. So long as he's the leader.
Probably.
And then you all meet downstairs. Well, I say that. You see, I guess it's just Mew. You find Mew in the hallway because Coda's calling for him.
Just me.
Alright, and I guess we'll stop it there.
Ooh.